on Giants.com.
Manning, deep one downfield, past the defense's Cruz, who's got it at the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 70 yards, salsa time, and Big D, Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw, under pressure, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20, looking for a block up to the 30, and drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right, picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. We'll talk Giants football with you, take your calls, interact with you on Twitter as well. But we're going to start off this week, and we are just about 1 month before the draft, so I figured it'd be a good time to check in with one of our resident draft experts over at the NFL Draft Bible. You can follow them on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. The guy that runs it is Rick Saratella. He joins us every year before the draft. This will be his first check-in with us about a month out. Rick, good morning. How's everything going?
Hey, John. Good to be back.
Hey, thanks for being here. I know a lot can change in the next month. You know, teams start leaking information, both accurate and incorrect. But I figured this would be a good time to get an early feel on what this top 10 is going to look like. And I guess the way I'll open this with you, Rick, is how many quarterbacks, when all is said and done, do you think are going to go before the Giants select the 12?
Wow, that's the question of the day, right? We're always intrigued with the quarterbacks. And I think, you know, last year we saw the unpredictable happen. And, you know, the way we are right now, a week or a month away from the draft, I feel like there's enough teams inside that top 10 that we could see Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, and Blake Bortles all come off the board before the Giants select. And what order they come off is still up in the air. It remains to be seen. But I do think that all three of those guys will be gone once the Giants are picking.
Okay, so that means there'll be more talented positions the Giant needs, which is certainly something that they'll be excited about. Just out of curiosity, what's your gut feel right now at number one? Do you think it's going to be one of the quarterbacks, or do you think it's going to be Clowney?
I do think it's going to be a quarterback just because of the Wade Phillips defensive philosophy. If you look at Clowney in terms of how he fits Wade Phillips' defense, it's kind of fitting square peg in a round hole. It's just not going to work. There's going to be a certain percentage of plays where even if he's on the field, he's just going to be out of place and not as effective as if a 4-3 team were to select him. And I think that the Texans probably have been scouting quarterbacks now for the last few months. And there's a lot of intrigue there, I think, with getting a fresh new start. And I think that begins with a new head coach and a fresh new quarterback.
All right, let's move ahead then. I assume you would believe that the first non-quarterback off the board then would be Clowney, followed shortly by what, Sammy Watkins? Or do you think Khalil Mack's going to go ahead of Watkins in this draft?
I think you could throw Sammy Watkins. You could throw Khalil Mack in the mix.
Greg Robinson, too?
Yeah, and don't sleep on Jake Matthews. I mean, he's been the number one offensive tackle of this draft class for the last 2 years. And I know Greg Robinson has made a strong push here as we get closer to the draft. But if you're talking about technique, fundamentally sound, and a four-year starter, Jake Matthews could possibly go ahead of Greg Robinson. So that's another position where I think those two offensive tackles will be gone before the Giants select. So if the Giants are looking at offensive tackle, they want to hope that Taylor Lewan from Michigan drops to them at number 12 if they're looking at offensive tackle. Those are the top three offensive tackles. I think then you have a little bit of a drop-off after that.
I'll stick with the tackles then first. How much of a drop-off are we talking about between Lewan and the next guy up who the consensus seems to be is Zach Martin? Where do you see Zach Martin's talent falling? Where do you think he would go in the first round?
You know, I project Zach Martin as a right tackle, but I do think that with the depth of the offensive tackle draft class, Zach Martin is the last offensive tackle that we currently have a first-round grade on.
Okay.
So I think at least four offensive tackles, but, you know, if the Giants pull the trigger at 12 and take an offensive tackle, then you might get a Morgan Moses from Virginia, you know, the kid from Alabama, Kuananjo, depending on the knee. And then, you know, second round, you're looking at Jack Muhort from Ohio State and Joel Petonio from Nevada. You can get about six or seven tackles in this draft that can start. And I think after that, the cream of the crop is pretty much gone.
Where do you see Martin going in the first round? Where do you think his talent fits?
You know, I see it similar to the offensive lineman that the Bears took last year, the year before. I kind of see him playing that kind of role. So I think top 20 is where Zach Martin lands. I don't think he gets past, you know, top 20, top 25 picks.
A lot. One player the Giant fans, I've noticed, are very excited about. All the calls like to bring him up, one of the first names. And I keep telling them I don't think he's going to be there, so I'll ask you that question. One guy that's been soaring up draft boards is Mike Evans, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M. Will he be there, do you think, when the Giants pick at 12, or is he too much of a solidified top point?
I honestly believe he'll be gone off the board, but with wide receivers, it's such a deep class that you could see some teams that need wide receiver bypass it on the first time around. So once Sammy Watkins comes off the board, Mike Evans is that next consensus guy. You have Marquise Lee in the mix in terms of the early part of the first round. But I think Evans will be off the board by the time the Giants get there. I do think he'll go in the top 10. And if they're looking to add a big wide receiver, we spoke with Brandon Coleman from Rutgers, another guy that's not a highly rated top pick, but also in that Mike Evans frame, 6'5" type of wide receiver. So if the Giants don't get that big body receiver early on, a guy like Brandon Coleman in the later rounds, right here in our own backyard, is a guy to keep an eye on.
What do you think of Kelvin Benjamin as a player? A lot of fans I know like him a lot. How good do you think he is, and where do you think he is going to go in the draft? Could he slip into round two, or do you see him as a, you know, 20 to 30 in the first round type of guy?
I think he slips into round two. I'm a little bit leery of him just because, you know, Kelvin Benjamin is a guy that wasn't really on the NFL draft radar heavily when the season started. He had a strong finish to the year, and then he's a physical freak. So his freakish athleticism is really what has GMs drooling and salivating. But if you remember a year ago, you know, New York Jets fell in love with Stephen Hill, and they saw the measurables. They saw he can jump through the gymnasium and all this athleticism, but it didn't translate onto the field.
Interesting.
So I would be a little bit skeptical of Benjamin myself. I do think he slides into the second round, but when you talk about upside, he has just about as much upside as any wideout in this draft, and that's the beauty of evaluations.
No doubt about it. Who else are your favorite wide receivers after you get past those first two guys, Evans and, of course, Sammy Watkins?
Well, I like Marquise Lee from USC a lot. If you look at what Robert Woods did with the Buffalo Bills last year as a second-round pick, he had a very productive season, and Marquise Lee is kind of in the same mold, a complete package wide receiver, but a higher-rated prospect. So I think Marquise Lee, when you talk about Sammy Watkins, a little bit of durability issues there. Marquise Lee could come out and be the best wide receiver in this draft class. Of course, you have Brandon Cooks from Oregon State, led the nation in receiving. He's making a push to see that first-round draft status. And you have the LSU kids, Beckham and Landry. They're not too far behind. Landry ran a poor 40 times, so Beckham is probably the guy that might be knocking on the first round. So those are the first-round guys. And then after that, you got a couple of players like Martavius Bryant from Clemson, a big-bodied size and speed receiver, 6'4", 4'4", 40 type of guy. Dante Moncrief from Mississippi is another guy, probably second round. Allen Robinson from Penn State, once considered to be a first-round pick, is another guy in the mix. And you talk about, you know, the top senior wide receiver in this draft class, you got to go all the way down to Vanderbilt, where Jordan Matthews, you know, coming in at the beginning of the season, was looking like the number one rated wide receiver in this draft class until all the underclassmen decided to declare. So he's probably now in that second to third round status.
All right, I want to kind of slide back here to the Giants at all, because I think a second round wide receiver for the Giants, you just mentioned all these guys that are highly valued, could be a good fit for them there. In terms of their first round pick, we touched on tackle, which is a possibility. We touched on wide receiver. What's your take on Eric Ebron as a tight end? Is he good enough to go as high at 12? Do you think he's going to be there at 12? What's your overall opinion on Eric Ebron?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a top 15 player. When you talk about the new wave tight ends, everybody's looking for that athletic pass catching tight end that can run the seam and be a weapon on offense. So I do think it makes sense when you talk about you lost Hakeem Nicks. You got a bunch of journeymen at the tight end position, whether it's Daniel Fells and I know they got Adrian Robinson, the JPP of tight ends, but really hasn't done too much. Kellen Davis. I mean, that's not really a strong tight end corps. So, I mean, Eric Ebron makes a lot of sense, and just I know they added Manningham at wide receiver, but is Randall really a number one wideout? Maybe if you throw Ebron in the mix at 12, it kind of alleviates the pressure off of Randall and Jernigan to step up, because we've seen in the past when we rely on these Giants wide receivers to step up, whether it be Ramses Barden, Reuben Randall, Jernigan had, some flashes at the end of the season, but can they do it over the full 16 games and be consistent? So I really think the Eric Ebron pick makes a lot of sense, although I just don't think Jerry Reese is going to pull the trigger on a tight end that early, unfortunately.
We're joined by Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible. You can follow them on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. Rick, I want to stick on Ebron for a second here. Looks like we lost Rick. We can get Rick back up here, and we'll get him right back up on Eric Ebron. Looks like we had a little bit of a click on the cell phone. I thought I heard something in the headset. So we can try to get him back up here in just a second. And, we mentioned Eric Ebron, good fit. And it's funny, Paul Schwartz had an article in the paper from the New York Post over the weekend, too, talking about Eric Ebron as a possibility at 12, and how, in the past, Jerry Reese has kind of taken tight end as a position where he's able to find the player in the middle rounds or a veteran and fill the spot that way. So I think that's something you keep an eye on, whether or not they're going to change their opinion on how they fill that tight end position and how important that position is. So I think that's a very important thing for us to keep an eye on, whether or not the Giants decide that tight end position is still a huge priority, or if it's another spot where they're going to take a look and say, you know what, we can find somebody in the middle rounds, we can find somebody in free agency to fill that spot if we have to. We're still trying to get Rick back up here. We'll get him up in just a second. When he does, we'll talk a little bit about the defensive tackle and defensive end spots, too, in this draft. And Anthony Barr, I think, is another interesting guy that we can touch on, too, as possibility for the Giants in that first round. So it looks like we got Rick back in the line. We're going to be rejoined now by Rick Saratella from at NFL Draft Bible. We'll have to put a call into a Verizon Wireless, see what's going on with that. Rick, thanks for rejoining us. Really quickly on Eric Ebron, want to stick with him for just a second. Obviously not asked to block a lot in North Carolina. Do you think he has the, A, physical specifications, and B, willingness to become at least an adequate blocker so he can be a two-way player at the NFL level?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he wasn't asked a whole lot at North Carolina to do that, but he definitely has the body frame. And, the biggest thing, I always believe in your coaching staff. And if you have a coaching staff that is confident and comfortable, and the Giants have an established veteran coaching staff, you can bring any player in here and mold them into what you want to be. I mean, these are 20-year-old kids. So while that area of his game isn't really fully developed, the Giants can bring him in, or any good coaching staff can bring in Eric Ebron and bring him up to speed so that he's adequate and more than above average to be a blocking tight end. But you got to understand what you're getting with Ebron. You're getting a playmaking tight end that is going to be probably one of the most explosive, if not a top five tight end from the offensive production standpoint in the entire league.
So you think his upside really puts him into that Jimmy Graham type of stratosphere?
I do. And I think, if you look at what the Patriots did with Gronk and Hernandez, not so much last year, but in years past, I think everybody's kind of looking for that Jimmy Graham, that Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, and I think Eric Ebron definitely fits the billing there.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's looking for the next Aaron Hernandez anymore, unfortunately. Rick, what other potential pick for the Giants at 12? I heard people talk about a lot. Is somebody that's really jumped up on the draft board since the Senior Bowl and the Combine, and that's Aaron Donald, the defensive tackle out of Pittsburgh. How high do you think he's going to go in this draft, and how much of a sure thing is he to come in and be an effective player at that three technique right away in the NFL?
I mean, this guy is an unbelievable talent. I think when you talk about the NFL scouting combine and Senior Bowl and the draft evaluation process, the pro day, I like to call it the NFL draft triple play, whether it be the combine, the all-star circuit, the pro day workout. Aaron Donald killed it, and he did more for his draft stock than probably any player in this entire draft. No one thought about him being a first-round pick. Now we're talking about him being potentially a top 10 pick. If he's there at number 12 for the Giants, ideally, that would be my guy. I'd dash to the commissioner and give him my card with Aaron Donald and throw him into the defensive line, because you lost the defensive end. You lost Linville Joseph. You know, the Giants have been soft up the middle in recent years, and Donald is a guy who plug and play, and he's an animal. Just think Geno Atkins in Cincinnati. That's what this guy is. That's what his NFL comparison is. So for me, I think when you talk about an instant plug-and-play starter and an impact defensive player, Aaron Donald makes a lot of sense. So I'd like to see the Giants build from the inside out with this draft. I know they did some good things on the offensive line and got some depth on the interior. But I'd like to see maybe offensive tackle, defensive tackle, start from with the big uglies, then maybe add a wide receiver, an outside linebacker later on in the draft, maybe a cornerback. I know they signed some corners, but Corey Webster's injury prone. So that's kind of maybe the top 3 to 5 needs I see the Giants.
Well, what chance do you think there is of Aaron Donald being there at 12? Do you think there's a legitimate chance right now that he is a top 10 pick?
I do. I do think there's a chance he's there for the Giants, just because we just talked about, you know, you're going to have 3 quarterbacks. You're going to have 2 offensive tackles. So there's 5 of your top 10 players right there. I think there will be some teams that are hesitant to use a top 10 selection on a defensive tackle that's under 300 pounds. And
right.
I know it sounds silly, but, you know, there are teams out there that are just going to say, hey, listen, this guy's 289. We're not using a top 10 pick on him. And that was kind of why he wasn't viewed as a first-round pick coming into the combine. And then they, you know, they are coming into the Senior Bowl even. And then he just completely dominated, blew everybody off the ball at the Senior Bowl, and then went to the combine and put in a great performance. And here we are talking about him. Will he be on the board at number 12? But I think it's a 50-50 chance.
50-50 shot, huh? All right, how about an Anthony Barr? He's a guy that I feel like is kind of sliding down the draft board a little bit. Now, is he strictly, you think, Rick, and we're joined by Rick Saratello from at NFL Draft Bible. You can follow him on Twitter there. Is he strictly a 3-4 player, or is there a way for a team to take him and figure out a way to use him effectively in a 4-3 defense?
Yeah, I just see him as a 3-4 pass rush specialist. And, you know, the reason why he's slipping is because of the body frame. And, you know, he has the athleticism, the quickness, the burst on the edge to get to the quarterback. But if you look at his body frame, it's very similar to Deion Jordan, who the Dolphins took inside the top 10 a year ago. And Deion Jordan struggled this past season with the adjustment transitioning to the NFL, just didn't have the strength, the upper body strength. And I kind of see that with Anthony Barr a lot. So I think there might be a transition, kind of transition with Anthony Barr to the next level, whereas a guy like Khalil Mack is a guy that can come in and make an immediate impact. And Khalil Mack can also play inside backer, outside backer, where Anthony Barr is, as we just said, a strictly 3-4 outside pass rush linebacker.
Are injuries scaring teams off of C.J. Mosley a little bit?
You know, I mean, I think it doesn't help. He's a guy that was coming into the year probably the consensus top linebacker, but I tell people this all the time coming into the season. The toughest evaluation was deciding, you know, who I like more, C.J. Mosley or Khalil Mack, because I watched them back-to-back coming into the season, and Mosley's film was great, and then I put on Khalil Mack, and it was superb. But the difference is Mosley's doing it against the SEC, and Khalil Mack's doing it against the WAC. So, you know, you go back to the evaluation process, and you try to gauge, you know, how valuable that is. And, you know, at the end of the day, Khalil Mack, he makes plays, it jumps out on tape, and I think that's why he's ascended into the top 5 conversation, whereas C.J. Mosley is still a solid player. I'm not sure if the injuries are so much, but I just think from an inside linebacker point of view, you don't really see too many inside linebackers going top 10. And I don't know if there's been one since Aaron Curry, but we saw the disaster that was. So I don't know if C.J. Mosley makes the top 10. I don't think it's so much injuries, but I just think the value of the middle linebacker position, kind of like the way the running back is on the offensive side of the ball, I just don't think you're going to see an inside linebacker taken in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't remember what number Luke Kuechly was, but he was probably the last highest taken middle linebacker, yeah. I think, right? Real quick, Rick, I want to touch second round now. If the Giants don't go Ebron in round one, of that second group of tight ends, the Jason Morrows, the Austin Seferian Jenkins, and the Troy Nicholases from Notre Dame, break down those three. Which one do you think would be a good fit? Which guy would you like for the Giants in round two? And frankly, who do you think is going to be there when the Giants pick in round two?
Well, I think, you know, if anything, the Texas Tech kid, Jason Morrow, he's probably got the best chance to sneak into the latter part of the first round, so he might be the guy that's probably off the board when the Giants pick in round two. Austin Seferin Jenkins from Washington, I compare him very favorably to a Jermichael Finley, a healthy Jermichael Finley type of comparison. I love everything he brings to the table. It's the off-the-field stuff, that you know, the DUI and showing up late to practice and, you know, poor attitude. So, you know, you got to value that, and that's not really a type of player that fits the Jerry Reese mold, so I'm not sure that they go with him, but I do think that he has the best upside of the next three, even more so than Jason Morrow. And Troy Nicholas from Notre Dame, here's another guy that's kind of skyrocketed up draft boards since he decided to clear for the draft in January. And you're talking about a guy that's another physical freak. You know, he has the size, the speed, the athleticism, can do a little bit of everything. He'll probably be gone in the second or third round, so he'll be there for the Giants second go-around. Probably the guy that fits the bill the best in terms of a second-round tight end draft prospect for the Giants. But don't sleep on C.J. Federich from Iowa. This guy is probably a third or fourth round guy that would fit the Giants. He's a Jake Ballard, Kevin Boss type of blocking receiving combination tight end that the Giants would be looking for.
Final question for Rick Saratello from the NFL Draft Bible. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. Anybody at 12 that I didn't mention here, Rick, that you think is a sleeper, that you like, that you see creeping up draft boards here that could be a factor for the Giants at number 12? Or, heck, even in round two, if you think there's someone that could be there that's a good fit that I didn't bring up, what's your take on their two spots? Anybody that I'm missing? Anybody you think that could surprise us?
Yeah, I'll give you a guy, Dominic Easley from Florida. He has not been able to work out during this draft season. He had a leg injury this past year, and from what I hear, he is now 100%. He may or may not work out before the draft, but Dominic Easley from Florida was widely considered a consensus first-round pick. He has the quickest first step of any defensive player in this draft, including Clowney. And if he was healthy, we'd be talking about him as a top 15 pick. So I don't think he sneaks into the first round, but maybe that second go-around, if the Giants are looking for a defensive tackle, Dominic Easley from Florida Gators is a name to remember.
Rick, we appreciate the time. I'll be in touch. We'll catch up with you a week or so before the draft, see how things have changed, and thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, John.
No problem. That's Rick Saratello from the NFL Draft Bible. You can follow him on Twitter, at NFL Draft Bible, giving us a good feel for some of these guys. And, well, we got one of our first draft guru that we've had on this year, a month before the draft, is in the Aaron Donald camp. There you go. Also likes Ebron. And though I'm surprised, you know, he seemed to – I really thought that there was a good 75-80% chance Donald would be there when the Giants pick at 12. He thinks only 50-50, so I think that's gotten interesting. Maybe he's really moving up boards as much as some people think. And that'll be interesting to kind of break down. I'm sure we'll get into the crazy details of it as we move forward here. Who's going to take who and who's going to be left, and, you know, we can have some fun with that as we move forward. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll get to your questions in a second. Let's go to the phones, and Cliff, all the way out in California City, has been holding since the start of the show. Cliff, what's going on?
How you doing, John?
Doing well, Cliff.
I didn't get a chance to talk to you.
No, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I work early mornings, and I don't always get a chance to call in, but I listen every day.
No, I appreciate it, man. What's going on today?
Well, this guy, Rick, he knows his stuff. He's a man after my own heart. See, I like Ebron. Ebron's great. Giants draft Ebron, I have no problem with that. Same thing with Evans. They come away with Evans, I'm fine with that. Until I saw the tape of Donald. Oh, my God. My mouth dropped when I saw what this guy was doing. It's like what he was doing wasn't even human. If the Giants draft Donald, the pass rush would be back, not just because of him, but because the attention he would command. He'd have to have two guys and maybe even a running back to stop this guy, just to neutralize him, which would open it up for JPP and whoever else they stick on the other side. He'd be a monster. The pass rush, like he said, starts inside out, not outside in. You could put Clowney or whoever. You got Clowney on both sides. If you got no presence in the middle, they're just going to get blocked. It'd be like having, say, a Patrick Ewing on the inside. It doesn't matter if you got John Starks on the outside. If Patrick Ewing ain't doing his job and drawing attention, John Starks can have open shots all day. Without Patrick Ewing, Starks would have more hands in his face than Pacquiao.
No, look, I'm with you. I think if you add Aaron Donald to this defensive line, he does instantly, I think, make the defensive line and the pass rush a lot better. The issue you run into is that, not that Donald's not a great player. The issue you run into then is, are you going to be able to do enough here with your draft picks and with the rest of the time you have left in free agency to make this offense good enough to win football games next year? Because right now, I don't think this offense is a playoff offense. I really don't think it is.
I agree. I don't think it is right now. But there are other players. Like I heard him mention Martavis Bryant. They have Bryant's 40 time listed as 4.4. I saw this guy run a 4.3, and he's 6.4. Who runs a 4.3 at 6.4? Nobody. With Tom Coughlin's type of running game, I know we got a new coordinator, but he's going to want the power running game. With a power running game, you need an outside threat to keep the safeties honest. I know we got Cruz on one side, but that'll just allow the other safety to creep up. If you got a deep threat with some speed on the other side, opposite of Cruz, and a fairly decent tight end, the power running game, we could run whenever we feel like it, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. You can bring your safeties up, and we will burn you. And they don't want that.
Sounds like a plan, Cliff. Excuse me. I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
And thanks for calling. Cliff, to be fair, next time you call, and just turn that internet speaker down, and you can listen to the phone. Everybody out there, too, when you call up, you can hear us you can hear the show when you're on hold. So you listen when you're on hold, you can turn that internet speaker or radio down while you're listening. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Billy down in Virginia next. Billy, what's going on?
Hey, John. First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Billy, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I found you guys last month, and I really enjoyed it, especially with me being out of market. You know, I get a lot of good news from you guys.
Yeah, you know what, Billy? It's funny. I really find that probably a good 75-80% of our fans and callers come from out of market, because you're right. They don't have the WFANs and all that other stuff to get their Giants bill. So we're happy to give our out-of-town Giant fans as much Giants as they can get.
Hey, we appreciate it.
No problem. What's up?
Hey, I had a couple questions actually outside the draft. One of the things I was thinking of is if Nassib does not beat out Painter for the quarterback position, for the backup, is there a chance, do you think, we'd pick up maybe Rex Grossman or John Kitna to have, you know, someone with starting experience and also with division knowledge?
Well, I don't think Kitna's coming back. I mean, I think Kitna's pretty much retired at this point. I don't think he only came back with Dallas last year as an emergency to help out the organization. I don't think he's interested in continuing his career as a backup. A guy like Grossman, I mean, look, I think he's a solid backup. But frankly, I think if Nassib can't beat out Curtis Painter, I think Curtis Painter's your backup, to be quite honest with you. I think that's why he's here. I think that's why they re-signed him this offseason. If they didn't think he could be the veteran backup, they wouldn't have brought him back. So I think if Nassib can't beat out Painter, I think the guy's Curtis Painter, to be quite honest with you.
I agree, but I'm not a Painter fan just from what his teammates have said about him. So my next thing, a lot of people are giving Mathias Kiwanuka a hard time, especially over the last year and the lack of production. And I was just wondering because I remember a quote where they said Mathias Kiwanuka was too good to not have him on the field, so they moved him to linebacker. with the Giants doing that, do you think we, as a team, stunted his development?
Honestly, as a defensive end, I don't think him playing linebacker for 3 years helped him become a better defensive end. So, yeah, I think one of the reasons maybe Kiwi wasn't quite as productive at DN last year is because he hasn't had as much experience playing there as a lot of other guys. Now, keep this in mind, even when he did play linebacker, when third downs came along, he was still a guy that they, you know, let him put his hand in the dirt and rush after the quarterback. So he did have some opportunities to do that. But, yeah, I mean, I think let me put it this way. If Kiwanuku had been a defensive end since he got drafted and never had to play linebacker, would he be a better defensive end today? I think I'd probably have to say yes.
I think so, too. And hopefully with the offseason and being able to practice at defensive end, I think he's going to have a much better year.
You know what? Well, the Giants need him to, because Kiwi did not have a great year last year. And, you know, you added Robert Ayers, and frankly, those two guys are going to be in a deathmatch battle here now in the spring and the summer to see who's going to start at that defensive end spot. I think that'll be an interesting battle to look at. I think JPP is pretty solid, assuming he's healthy, at a right defensive end, but I think Kiwi and Ayers will have a big, big showdown to see who starts at that left defensive end position.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Hey, and that's going to be a fun part of this thing. And, Billy, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
No problem. This offseason, spring and summer, to me, is going to be one of the most exciting since I've been here, probably since I was here for the first time in 2007. The new offense, a billion new players, and you're going to learn a lot from watching practice. Even these workouts, you're going to learn stuff. Now, I don't think you're going to learn a ton until you actually get into games, and I mean regular season games, because I'm sure, you know, Coach Coughlin and Ben McAdoo are going to hide a lot of their stuff so they surprise people once the regular season comes. But that being said, I really think this is going to be a fun offseason. 201-939-4513. Tim is in Minneapolis. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, Tim. What's on your mind this morning?
I just wanted to touch bases on a little things that's been going on in my mind. First of all, let's not call nobody a monster, because we already had one of them last year.
Well, in fairness, Tim, if you would have listened to the show last year, you know, Paul Dottino was basically, you know, his head was exploding over his excitement about DeMontre Moore. And I tried to temper everybody and explain that Moore was a project and it was going to take time. So, you know, just people got a little too excited about him too early. And look, you hope in year number two he can start making some progress now. But anybody that thought after that draft and what was said and the reason DeMontre Moore dropped to the third round, and frankly, just looking at his body when he showed up after the draft for the first time and just looking at him with the eye test, you should have known that DeMontre Moore is not going to be a big-time player last year right away. There was just way too much work he had to do to be ready for the NFL.
True. And that being said, with everybody talking about, oh, well, let's go get another defensive end. Let's go get another. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, we got a second round or third round pick from last year who hasn't seen the field. Do I need to quote our illustrious owner? Like, why did it take us so long to figure out that XYZ could make plays? We got to throw this dude in the fire. We got to see if he can hold up. If he can't hold up, then, you know, let's move on. Then these other guys come into play. But I don't think it really makes sense to come in and draft at a position where we still have unproven talent, unless we're talking about our tight ends. Our tight ends have been around long enough to, especially Robinson, he's been around long enough to try to make an impact. So if you haven't made an impact yet, well, then we should bring in somebody like Ebron. But I've been doing my math, and I was looking at the teams ahead of us that have a little bit of a need, the same as we do at tight end. I don't think he's going to make it past the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I think there's a fair question as to whether the Bills can go a couple different ways. I've seen the Bills get pegged for an offensive lineman. I've seen the Bills get pegged for Mike Evans. I've seen the Bills get pegged for Eric Ebron. I've seen it go all three ways, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I hope that Mike Evans doesn't get picked, you know, before seven or whatever, eight, whatever draft pick they have, because then they're definitely taking Ebron. At which point I say let's go offensive tackle, because I'm still scared. I do not trust Will Beatty. I mean, everybody's down on Eli, but let's keep it real. Eli was like the most smacked quarterback in the league last year. It's hard to complete passes from your back. I mean, I know we did it in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers where he got hit like 56 times out of 60 dropbacks or whatever, and we still won the game, but you can't do that in a season. I mean, like, Eli's a real tough guy, and I think that he took all those hits last year. He still started every game. I mean, let's keep it real. There's 30 other quarterbacks in the league who would have taken some time off getting smacked as much as Eli did. Which brings me up to which kind of sets me up as a segue to my next question.
Sure.
What do you think about this? And I already know what you're going to say, but it's fun to hear you say it anyway.
Okay.
we need to first draft offense.
I agree.
Let's draft offense. Let's pick up because the way the rules are set up in the league right now, they're set up for high scoring, playmaking offenses. You can't touch these guys. Let's take advantage of that. Our defense will look much better if we're jumping out 14-0 on teams as opposed to being down 10-0 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like teams were just coming out and lighting us up right away in the first quarter. It was kind of like a Chinese water torture effect. Like we would give up 3 points, wouldn't score. Go give up another 3 points, wouldn't score. Go give up the touchdown. Now we're 13-0, and we're totally out of our game plan.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Like the third quarter.
I think that's fair.
So let's go draft offense. Let's go get the other team behind the eight ball and see how good they are. It'll make our defense a lot better because now we're forcing teams to play left-handed. Now, I know that I know you're not a big fan of restructuring Eli, and I personally don't think it's going to happen, okay? But what would you say about this, just hypothetically? Let's go restructure Eli and go get CJ2K, man. You know what I'm saying? He's not a bell cow running back. I mean, we were trying to get that kind of an effect out of David Wilson. I don't think that he's going to come back and be the guy. David Wilson is just going to be like, you know, a face in the league for a couple more years, and then he'll be an accountant somewhere.
Tim, I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying. Frankly, I don't think Chris Johnson is that good of a running back anymore. I don't think he has that much left in the tank. I don't think he's that explosive guy that you think you're getting. I think that's the problem. I don't think Chris Johnson's that good anymore.
I was listening to you all last week saying that, so of course I went and did my due diligence, right?
Of course.
The problem with Chris Johnson was his O-line.
I'm like tired of excuses with Chris Johnson.
He was getting contact behind the line more than 50% of his carries.
It's always an excuse with Chris Johnson. I'm tired of the excuses. And think of it this way, too. He's now 28 going on 29. He's had, what, 6 or 7 full seasons in the NFL. How much tread is left on the tire? I mean, he's played 16 games.
1 year. I mean, the Eagles went and got Darren Sproles, man. Come on now. 1 year.
Well, first of all, Chris Johnson's not taking a 1 year contract. Chris Johnson wants a 4 to 5 year contract with like $8 million, $10 million guaranteed.
Yeah. He's not going to get that anyways.
Well, we'll see.
You know, but that's pretty much it. I'm just a big fan of, you know, I think we still got an elite quarterback. We still got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Let's invest in a tackle if we can't get Ebron. If we can't get Ebron or the wide receiver, a dynamic playmaker on the outside or up the seams, let's go get the tackle because Eli is going to need Peyton's neck surgery if he keeps getting hit like that. So I just wanted to hear, you know, how you respond to that, and I'll take it offline.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Tim. Look,
Real quick. Oh, by the way, I'm changing my name from Tim to Minnesota in honor of Shakes. I'm now Nugs.
Nugs? All right, thanks, Tim.
All right.
Nugs. I don't know. I don't even want to know. I don't want to know. I could ask. It's not going to be a good story. Oh, boy. Look, I could see offensive tackle in that first round. I could see it. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question here. And by the way, while Tim was going there, I kind of had a little fun. And I figured out the first 12 picks, and I'll give it to you guys in a second. But I could see tackle there in the first round. I really could. I think it'll be interesting. I would wait till the second round if you'll pick an offensive lineman myself. But if you really don't have faith in Will Beatty, which, you know, Nuggs doesn't really have faith in him, that, you know, if you want to go tackle first round, I'll buy it, assuming Lawan's there. I still think 12 is probably a little early for Zach Martin. Everyone I've talked to has basically told me the same thing. Now, here's the deal with the draft, folks, all right? 11 teams go before the Giants. If three quarterbacks go in the top 11, one of these four guys will be there for the Giants to select. Evans, Ebron, Lawan, Donald. One of those four guys will be there at 12, if three quarterbacks go in the top 11 picks. Now, if only two quarterbacks go in the top 11 picks, there's a chance all four of those guys could be off the board. Now, that's assuming that one of the top corners don't go to Detroit at 10, which is a possibility. I'm also assuming Anthony Barr does not go in the top 11. The worst-case scenario for the Giants are the first 12 picks of the draft. I'm going to assume Bridgewater is the quarterback that falls, okay? And he's out of the top 11, just for the sake of argument. The worst-case scenario for the Giants, these are the 11 guys that go before they pick. Not necessarily in this order. Bortles, Watkins, Clowney, Manziel, Robinson, Mack, Matthews, Evans, Ebron, Lawan, Donald. That's your worst-case scenario. Because that would really take those four elite guys that you're looking at 12 out of the mix. Now, even if only two quarterbacks goes, there's a chance that Anthony Barr could be in the top 11. There's a chance that Gilbert or Denard could be in the top 11, and that would save you a little bit there. But, again, if only two quarterbacks go, there's a chance those four guys we've been talking about the most might be off the board. By the way, tomorrow we'll be joined by Greg Giannotti, who covered the Panthers. It was their sideline reporter last year on their broadcast or on the radio. So they'll be joining us. He'll be joining us tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff. 201-939-4513. Back to our phone. Let's go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's going on?
Hey, John. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, Drew. How are you?
Great, great. Hey, man. You know, I listened to the show last week, man. With Patino. I don't know, man. Something about that guy just kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Drew, what do you think it is? Paul is one of the nicest guys in the world. He's somewhat out of his mind. He's a little crazy, but there's no reason to have him rub you the wrong way.
That's probably it. I don't know, man. Just probably some of the way he thinks. I don't know, man. But at any rate, man, you know, I was listening to him last week, you know, listening to you guys, and, Ebron, okay, and I want to talk about this Ebron kid for a second, all right? You know, I don't care what player you pick or what player in the league, there's always somebody that's, you know, that you know, somebody has deficiencies or, you know, you can say, oh, this kid coming out of college wasn't this or that and everything else. I mean, you know, look at a person like Brady, how that turned out.
You mean Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe Greg Brady was the oldest Brady on the Brady Bunch.
No, I'm talking about Tom.
Right.
If I mention Greg, I don't know where that came
that's
from.
That's all right, Drew. No worries.
We obviously are not talking about the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that is
here.
Correct.
So, but, you know, I mean, you know, this thing about, you know, oh, I don't, you know, we don't need a tight end. You know, we can just pick up any old tight end on the block, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think that's the problem. You know, I think the Giants have been trying to just pick up any old tight end on the block, and it really hasn't worked out. You know, I think the last good tight end we had, you know, really was Shockey. You know, although, you know, for me, the tight end of tight ends for the Giants was Bavaro, but, you know. But, so, you know, I don't think we had a good tight end since Shockey. And I really, really, really think that the Giants need a tight end, especially the way Eli plays and throws the ball. We could definitely use somebody that can get up there and go after the ball. you know, these excuses about, oh, he's a media darling and this and that and everything else. I mean, I've heard different stories one way or the other. So, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, if this kid's going to be a media darling, you know, that could, especially being in New York, be a problem. But I don't know that, I don't really think that's the case. And on the other side of that, you know, if this guy's got all of the possibilities that we all think he has, I don't see why we can't go out there and get this kid. You know, all of these excuses that everybody's looking for, you can throw that on any player out there. You know, nobody's going to know what this person is.
No, Drew, I hear you, but I think the one legitimate red flag you have is that you don't want to pick somebody at 12 that's never going to block. And now I think you can teach this kid to block. I think he'll be willing to block, and you'll be fine. That's why I think him at 12 is not a bad pick. You know, and Rick thought the same thing we talked earlier in the show from NFL right. Draft Bible. So that's why I think it can work. But I understand people's hesitancy drafting somebody at 12 where really half of the work he's going to have to do he's never really done before. I get the hesitancy.
Well, I mean, I understand that, you know, and that goes back to, you know, I mean, we've been talking about that for a while, so that's not something that just popped up. I mean, I understand that. Despite that, we're all looking at, you know, the upside that this kid brings. Now, you know, which gets back to my next statement. First and foremost, man, Tim, your other caller, man, I agree with him 100% about Eli and needing the protection and everything else. So, you know, I just want to say that we have to protect that quarterback. We do have a good quarterback. I don't care what some of our fans say about, oh, well, you know, I don't feel comfortable about the position that's being paid. We still have a good quarterback. Eli didn't win two quarterbacks, you know, just because he has no skills and it was all on the defense. We got a good quarterback, and we have to protect the quarterback. So, yeah, I think that if we can get this kid Ebron to do what we need him to do, which is also block, you know, but also his size and everything else, I think that'll be a huge asset to Eli. You know, I'm kind of tired of the musical chairs with the with the tight ends. A couple other things I want to say.
Yeah, real quick, Drew.
I forgot. I guess that's it, man.
That's right,
yeah,
Drew.
No, offense. Yeah, I agree with Tim. That's what I want to say. I want to also want to piggyback on Tim. And I said this before. You know, if we get a good offense and a good offensive line that can light up the scoreboard and put up some points, that does put pressure on other defenses and other offenses. You know, because, yeah, I'm not really – I mean, I know we picked up a D-line, defensive end last week. Who we pick up last week?
Robert Ayers.
Okay, yeah. And I heard that's supposed to solidify the defense a little bit better. But if we can throw up some points up there, man, I think you know, that'll help overcome, because I don't care how great your defense is, if you're constantly going three and out and you can't score in the red zone, you're going to burn that defense out. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Drew.
You taking my call, John, and thanks, man.
Have a good one. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I've been trying to go back with you guys a little bit on Twitter as you go along here. One thing, at Bone Marrow Blue asks, what do I think of Stephon Tuitt in the second round? I got to be honest, you know, listening to Eric Hansen last week, who covered Notre Dame, he really talked about Stephon Tuitt as a guy that is a 3-4 defensive end or a 4-3, 3-technique defensive tackle. I don't like the idea of him in the second round. So those guys, you got to convert, teach him to play a little bit differently than he did in college. He doesn't really project much as a 4-3 defensive end. So I like the Scott Crichton kid, and I think that's how you pronounce his name, out of Oregon State, the defensive end. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Russell, all the way out in Kuwait. Russell, I'm assuming you are serving in the military. Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah, this is Russell from Fort Knox. Yeah, man, I've been listening, trying to get on, man. It's so hard, man.
No problem. Thank you for calling. You have all the time you need, and thank you for your service, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Now, I've been listening to Shakes, Lynn. I've been listening to what y'all are saying. Listen, I'm going to break it down to you. The past is the past. The future is the future. Now, I'm going to tell you what the past is the past. We tried that for 2 years and did not make the playoffs. Get Ebron. If you don't get Ebron, Jerry's skin fired. Get Ebron. We need a tight end. The wide receivers, I mean, Randle was going to be a good player. Just give him some time. We had Akeem Nicks there. You know, Victor Cruz is nice. If we get Ebron, he's going to open up the middle of the field. Get Ebron. All that blocking tight end. We had a blocking tight end and did not make the playoffs. We didn't score. Red zone was sorry. Get Ebron.
Russell, in fairness, the Giants didn't really have a good blocking tight end last year because Brandon Myers was kind of a disaster in terms of being a blocker. So I agree with you. I think Ebron as a weapon is great. But last year they were missing a good two-way tight end. That was one of the issues of Brandon Myers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I thought Brandon Myers was going to be good because I'm like, Eli Brandon Myers came from opening out some receptions, but we never had. We get an Ebron, man. Come on, man. We get an Ebron. He's going to open up the field. He's going to open up the offense. All it's about getting Donald. We don't need Donald. We tried that last year. We had a bunch of defensive tackles. Did not make the playoffs. Let's start over. Let's start fresh. We got the dude from Green Bay. He's a tight end coach. Let's do it, man. We can make the playoffs this year. The Eagles are not going to do anything. They did that last time. They got rid of DeSean Jackson. The Redskins, RG3, come on. I don't think the Redskins are going to do anything with DeSean Jackson. This is my point of view, and the Cowboys are done. So we have an opportunity to make the playoffs. So we got to think bigger than that. We can't go back from the past. We tried that for 2 years and did not make the playoffs. Let's go in the future. Let's get Ebron. Let's get an offensive tackle, and then get a wide receiver. You know, and that's it. Then you know, whatever they feel they want to do, the needs, run it back, however they want to do, they can do. But they need Ebron. They don't get Ebron, they might not make the playoffs next year. I'm just saying. I just got that feeling. Jerry Reese will get fired.
All right, Russell, I appreciate the call, man.
All right.
Hey, thank you for your service again, my friend. Call back anytime. We'll get you right on. I know that's kind of a long-distance call, so we appreciate it. Thanks so much. Look, I think Ebron will be an excellent pick. I think he's going to be a good player. I mean, I'm not going to go as far as to say if he doesn't pick Eric Ebron, he's going to get fired, because I think there's a way to make this draft work, as we've talked about, even if you don't take Ebron in the first round. I think it makes sense, but I think there are other ways you can work it that it makes sense as well. That's how I'll put it to you. 201-939-4513. You can either take Safarian Jenkins, or you could take Troy Nicholas in the second round. You know, you get a playmaker in round one, or even an Aaron Donald. I think there's a way to make it work. 201-939-4513. Emilio's in Staten Island. Emilio, what's up?
What's up, pal?
Nothing much, buddy. What's going on with you?
Nothing. I love the way we had this conversation about Donald last week, and all of a sudden this guy might not even make it to us.
He is really jumping up board. It's amazing.
I was telling you, when I was watching film on him, I wasn't lying when I said he just chucks offensive linemen. I don't even know what to say about him. It's amazing what this guy does.
Yeah, look, Aaron Donald's going to be a good player right away in this league. And again, I'm going to talk to Greg Giannotti tomorrow during the show about Aaron Donald. And I actually recorded it earlier today, and he had nothing but great things to say about the kid. So I think the only reason you wouldn't draft a guy like Donald is if you really think you need that big-time playmaker on offense to make this team work next year. But from a value point of view, Ebron will be a fine pick at number 12.
Which leads me to believe that they signed this kid. The tight end, Kellen Davis, supposed to be like a really, really good blocker.
Correct.
Now, do you think that they're going to keep the line the way it is and draft Ebron? Because now they have their blocking tight end.
Look, Kellen Davis has...
With DJ in the middle, the two tackles where they are, you got Schwartz at left guard, Snead at right guard.
Hey, look,
tight end.
Kellen Davis has started in this league. He's a guy has something like, what, in seven NFL seasons, has 50 catches or something like that. I have to go back and look at the numbers again. But his numbers aren't
about 50.
Yeah, his numbers aren't spectacular by any stretch of the imagination. He was inactive for the Seahawks last year in the Super Bowl. He's not a guy that's going to play 50 or 60 snaps for you and you're going to be happy about it. But he's a guy that can play a role. He can catch a little bit. He's a good blocker. I don't think he's going to change the Giants' plans in any regard in terms of the draft. I think he's veteran depth and not much more than that.
No, what I meant was is they have their blocking tight end now. Is that a precursor to them drafting Ebron?
No, right, and I agree with you. I think it probably makes it a little bit easier. But again, to me, I'm not sure signing a guy like Kellen Davis, who's kind of a tryout guy, he's going to have to earn a spot in the spring.
Okay.
I don't think that... that's going to make it more or less likely that they draft Ebron. Because I think you could find a guy like Kellen Davis pretty much at any time, to be honest with you. He's a guy that is a repeatable NFL player. There are other guys out there in the free agent market that can give you similar things to what Kellen Davis can give you. So while I do think it would be a nice theoretical complement to Ebron, I don't think adding a guy like Kellen Davis is going to really affect the Giants' thought process in the draft.
Well, what you said about those four guys being there, I would be happy with any one of them.
Well, again, if one of those four guys are there, I think the Giants will get an excellent player. If all four are gone, I think then you're going to have to try to get creative. Right.
You have to try to trade back as hard as possible.
I think you have to think about it. Look, who knows who else the front office has? Maybe they really like Anthony Barr. They think they can convert him. Maybe they really like C.J. Mosley. Maybe they think Zach Martin is good enough to pick at 12 when he's not a 16 or 17 or 18 guy.
I think
those are all guys you could talk about.
I tell you what, I would rather Mosley over Barr. I see bust written all over Barr in our kind of defense.
I think Barr would be a tough transition to a 4-3. I would agree with that as well.
All right, John. Thanks for the call, bud.
Hey, thanks
Keep
for calling, Emilio. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. By the way, Doug, one of our longtime listeners on Twitter, has made a good point. Let me go through this today. Cliff in California City, new caller. Billy in Virginia, new caller. We had Alex in L.A. on the line. He had to hang up during Rick's interview. That would have been a new caller. We've heard from Tim before, obviously. Drew, we've had. Russell in Kuwait is a new caller. Hopefully we hear from Russell again. He had some really good points. So we've got about six of our eight callers have been new today. That's excellent work, everybody. And all good points, too. All great callers. Let's keep it up. This guy's not a first-timer. He's an old-timer. And that's Len down in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, John, that's great. Six new callers. And of course, the tweeter says six new callers. That's really putting the pressure on here. It is great to hear the new callers, though, and the show is just getting better and better, John. A lot of new ideas coming in. Listen, 12th pick in the draft, it's not a two-down player, John. The 12th pick in the draft can't come off the field.
I agree with that. Whoever you pick at 12 needs to be a guy that can play on every down. I agree.
It's a three-down player.
Yep.
I mean, got to be a Now, inside of 1 month of the draft, or just about 1 month of the draft, let's see if we can get inside Jerry's head here for a second.
Sure.
Is there anybody? I mean, we know we're not getting Clowney, okay?
Now, Len, I want to make sure, you don't have a real psychiatry or psychology degree that you're trying to use here, are you?
No. Here's what I'm trying to say. Is there anybody that they are down on their hoping that this guy is there? Or are they just going to take it in stride as to who's there? I mean, there's going to be players there. There's going to be three down players there. It's the 12th pick in the draft.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're on their knees.
I
don't know if they're on their knees hoping one specific guy's fall. I'm sure they're praying that, Sammy Watkins falls or Greg Robinson falls.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, there's four or five guys whose names just keep coming up. Is there somebody that we got our eye on who we're just going to be bitterly disappointed if that guy's not there? I mean, we're just hoping beyond hope that this guy is there. I don't think so. They're probably leaning towards some guys, but I hate to put it in this terms. Zach Martin is always there.
No, he is. And look, I agree. I don't think the Giants are sitting here saying, "Well, if this guy's not here, we're screwed." I don't think anybody up there is saying that.
And if you got a top 15 pick, if you're a top 15 player, John, I mean, it's not about the warts. It's about the strengths.
That's fair.
Kind of player do you want? I mean, what kind of player do you want? We keep talking about Donald Small. I mean, come on, the guy's a great player. Everybody says he's going to be a terrific player. Ebron can't block. Come on, the guy's going to be a terrific pro. He's going to be a great pro. I mean, it's all for those first 15 players. I mean, the warts don't count.
Yo, but Len, to a certain extent, remember, there's been plenty of guys picked in the top 15 over the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years that have stunk.
Yeah.
I mean, flat out stunk.
Yeah,
they've been bad football
Absolutely.
Players. So what you got to do, you got to make sure that those warts aren't going to be things that are going to really diminish these guys' value. So as much as you want to look what these guys can do, you also have to make sure that their weaknesses aren't so large or their red flags so big and bright that they could derail what should be an excellent NFL career. Because I can go through just last year's draft. Deion Jordan, for example, Sharif Floyd dropped. I mean, there are plenty of guys that got drafted in the top 15 the last 5, 10 years that have been terrible football players and have been bad in the NFL.
Well, I don't know if I'd call them terrible football players, Sean. I think a lot of the failures that happened in the top 15 pick is not because of their physical capabilities. It has to do with some other things. Either they get injured very early or secondarily there are problems that the player had that's not football related. Who was the quarterback that went the same, the classic quarterback failure from 10 years ago?
Ryan Leaf?
Ryan Leaf. I mean, physical talent sometimes
evaluating what he does on the field.
Yeah, but I think sometimes and I fall into this trap too. You know, Donald's only 285. You don't get to be number 12 or, in a conversation if you've got a lot of warts.
Well, Len, hold on one second.
You're a fourth round pick.
I hear you, but here's a question for you. Yeah. Last year, wouldn't you figure the ninth pick in the draft would come in and be a really good player right away?
I would hope so.
Well, how did
you got to refresh my memory?
How did D. Milner do for the Jets last year?
Oh boy!
Well, and how about this? Four picks after D. Milner went, the same team, the Jets, picked who would be the defensive rookie of the year in Sheldon Richardson. So you don't know what you're getting half the time.
What a player!
I know.
Yeah. What a player! Yeah. All right. Here's the first couple of rounds for me, John.
Yeah.
I want Martin in the first. I don't care where these guys got him rated, 17, 18, 19, 20, top 20 player. I want Martin in the first. We got to come out of this with a starting offensive lineman.
And now, Len, do you like Martin better than Lawan?
I like Martin better than Lawan because I think we can move Martin inside.
So you think I would like Martin better than Lawan because I feel he's a safer pick. Lawan to me is better upside, but some of those red flags off the field stuff could scare some people away.
You know, one other thing about Lawan, John, and this is I don't know if this is too far off the charts, but let me say this. This is my own personal opinion just on human behavior. Sometimes when a guy acts tough, John, he's not really that tough.
That's fair. Oh, see now you are putting on your little psychology hat right now, Len.
Sometimes when these guys act like they're really tough guys, they're really not. I don't know. Yeah, that's just me. Look, I want Martin in the first.
Okay.
I want Matthews from Vanderbilt in the second. I want the tight end from Iowa in the third.
I'd be fine with that.
Now I got to study a little longer to get you to 4 or 5. I want a running back in there. I want a running back in there.
What I would
maybe
say, Len,
one of the fives.
Try to pick your running back in round 4. I think you'll be able to get one of the top 3 or 4 guys if you pick one in round 4.
Could be. Maybe the guy from, is it Washington State, Stanky? Or is he may be gone by then.
You know what? It's funny. Remember last year, a lot of people had that running back order wrong. They were very surprised when Giovanni Bernard was the first running back off the board last year, if I recall. And Eddie Lacy, didn't he drop all the way to the third round even, Eddie Lacy? Or was it second round?
Yeah.
Somebody dropped the 3 that people were surprised about. I forget who. But those running backs last year, really, it was strange the way they dropped off the board. So I think you might be able to get someone that's pretty good in round 4, to be honest with you.
Hey, listen, I probably took it too far with Lawan. He's going to be a fine football player, John.
Thank you, Len.
Okay, take care.
Have a good
one.
Bye-bye. And by the way, bye-bye. Just to go further on what Len's talking about here on some of these guys, all right? I already talked about last year with Milner. Go back to 2012, right? Not one person on the planet had any doubts about Morris Claiborne as a football player. People thought he would be the next Patrick Peterson, all right? When the Cowboys trade up, they're like, yeah, they paid a high price, but they got one of the 3 blue-chip players in this draft that are can't-miss players. How's Morris Claiborne done? Now, he's had some injuries, and that's part of it, but He simply hasn't shown the skill and ability that he showed before. So, I mean, heck. I mean, there's no guarantees here, guys. It's really not. Go back to 2011. And by the way, how's Trent Richardson looking at in as the third overall pick in 2012 right now? Did anybody doubt Trent Richardson would be a great pro? How's he looking like at the third overall? Not too good. Go back to 2011. Did I skip 2011 here? Hold on. Where's 2011? There's 2011. Go through this draft in 2011 here. Actually, you know what? You got some real big hits. Wow, this was a hell of a draft. Wow. You want to talk about a good top 10? If you take out the two quarterbacks, Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert, here are the top 10 picks. Dan, listen to this. In 2011, Cam Newton, Von Miller, Marcel Darius, who's an excellent defensive tackle for the Bills. People might not know him, but he's a hell of a player. A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, Aldon Smith, Jake Locker, who, you know, quarterback, like I said, take the quarterbacks out of the mix here. Tyron Smith, these are all Pro Bowl players. Every one of these guys has been in a Pro Bowl. And this is just a draft that was 3 years ago. Blaine Gabbert, ugh. But like I said, quarterbacks. J.J. Watt, monster. Christian Ponder, again, take the quarterbacks out. And then Nick Fairley at 13. Then Robert Quinn at 14, him of 17 sacks last year. Mike Pouncey starting offensive lineman. Ryan Kerrigan's been good for the Redskins. Nate Solder is a starting offensive tackle for the New England Patriots. And then Prince at 19. Wow, that is a hell of a draft. You know, people were shocked Prince dropped to 19. He should have. Look at those guys. Besides the quarterbacks. Holy crap, that's a good draft. You will not, you know, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to go back later today and look back at some other drafts. I'll be damned if you can find a better top 10 picks with that, top 11 picks. J.J. Watt, franchise. He might be the best defensive lineman in the league. Tyron Smith, he's one of the top three offensive linemen in the league. Aldon Smith, he was second in the league in sacks. Patrick Peterson might be the best corner in football. Julio Jones might be the best wide receiver in football. A.J. Green, probably the third best wide receiver in football. Wow. Julio Jones obviously behind Calvin Johnson, excuse me. But you might have the second and third best wide receivers in football after Megatron. Von Miller, one of the best pass rushers in the league. Wow. That is a hell of a draft. 201-939-4513. And you know what? 3 years from now, we might be saying the same thing about Jadeveon Clowney. We might be saying the same thing about Sammy Watkins. We might be saying the same thing about Mike Evans. Back to the phones. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on?
Hey, first off, Nugs?
Nugs! Nugs!
Question mark.
Hashtag pause, right?
yeah, but Lane, you got him on that conversation, y'all. He brings up, you know, we got the 12th pick, but you know it's still a hit or miss. You know, it's still a hit or miss. So you got to make sure that them weaknesses is not so large. You hit it right on the nose, and also Lane, Giants fans are going crazy on Twitter. They said you need to get on Twitter. And I told them, do you think that Len is a Twitter guy, like social media?
I don't think Len's a Twitter guy, too, but I do think he needs to get on.
Yeah, so.
It shakes. If Paul DeTino can do Twitter, anybody can do Twitter. Paul still sends faxes, all right? If anybody can figure out Twitter, if Paul can, so can Len.
Yeah, so we petitioning for Len to get on Twitter. We need you on Twitter. What you were saying earlier about either one of those four being available to us, that's what I was trying to tell you last week, John, that if those three quarterbacks go, Evans could be there. It is a shot. It is a shot for him to be there. And, yes, Ebron could be there. Donald. We got a choice of three special players at their position. Like, that's what people don't realize is we got a shot at three special players at their positions that don't come around every year. They don't. If you pick a Donald, you don't see a defensive tackle like this come around for another 10 years. Same with Ebron and Evans. Evans is a beast. A beast. I'm still Team Evans. And people thinking that, oh, man, he's going to jump on Team Ebron. I'm not jumping on Team Ebron. But I understand that he is a special player. But my concern is we don't know if he can block.
Well, Shakes, I agree. And this is why, and I've been saying it from the beginning, if the Giants get any one of those four guys, Donald, Evans, Ebron, Lawan, I'm happy. I think any four of those guys would be excellent, dominant, Pro Bowl-caliber professionals at their particular position. I'd be fine with any one of those guys.
And I'm kind of scared of Lawan, though. I'm kind of scared of Lawan. Because I just don't know. I mean, we invested so much money in tackles that, you know, why are we going to kick one of them inside? Or if, you know...
Tackle would be my last choice out of those four. I agree with you. I would take
exactly.
The other three guys over the tackle.
Exactly. I don't want that tackle. I just don't want to.
Yeah,
tackle.
But Shakes, here's the issue, though, and here's the argument to take the tackle over Aaron Donald. Here's the argument you make. If you pick Aaron Donald there, then you almost have to take an interior offensive lineman around two or three, right? And if you do that, then did you add enough playmakers on offense to make your offense good enough? That's when you run into problems picking Donald in the first round.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, we need playmakers, though. But Donald, I mean, I don't know. I see ways of picking Donald and still picking playmakers, though. In like the second and third round.
Well, although you can, but then you have to not pick any offensive linemen.
Yeah, but again, interior linemen are not, you know, they're not like tackles. They're not highly, you know, sort of.
I mean, you have a shot at getting one in round four, but it's a stretch at that point. He might not start right away. You probably have to wait a year until he was ready to start if you pick a fourth round guard or center.
And that's cool because, you know, we want to see what Snead and J.D. Walton can do, you know? You know, I mean, yeah, they been hurt, and yes, they question marks, but if we got that guy that we think that high of the pick of in fourth round, I mean, because this is a deep draft, you can't just throw away a fourth round. A fourth round is like a third round in this draft, so it's going to be a high worth pick. You can't just throw away that pick, so it's going to be a guy that you can just groom under those guys that if they're not working out week four, something like that, just throw that kid in. Hey, see what he can do. But I just don't think of going an offensive lineman in the early rounds. I don't want to do it. I need playmakers, and I need Evans, Team Evans.
All right, Shakes.
All right.
Thanks, bud. 201-939-4513. Aiden in Queens. I feel like Aiden's been trying to call in for like 2 weeks and his phone keeps dropping. I'm happy I finally got him on the air. Aiden, what's going on?
How's it going, John? Thanks
Doing
for taking
right.
my call.
No problem.
On the vein of playmakers, I was just looking at the wide receiver list here. I don't know if we put a lot of emphasis on how deep the class is.
Oh, it's deep.
Just height-wise, I don't think Evans will be there for us, and I believe the Giants are going to go old school and pick the first round, like the trench guy, either O-line or D-line. But I just wanted to get your opinion. If we get two out of the monster tall guys, out of Benjamin, Robinson, Jordan Matthews, Coleman, Moncrief, Martavius Bryant, if we can snatch two of those guys between round two and four, do you think that would be the best way to really light a fire under our receiving core and put the pressure on Randall and Jernigan?
Honestly, I don't think with all the needs the Giants have, you're going to be able to use two picks on those guys, but I believe one of those guys you named, and I'll even, you know, he's not a big guy, but I'll even throw Jarvis Landry into the group there as someone you could pick in the second round or the third round. I think any one of those guys would be helpful at wide receiver, and I would not be surprised. In fact, I would expect the Giants would select one of those guys in that, you know, late day two, you know, type of scenario.
All Okay, appreciate that, John. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call. And I think any of those guys would be good, though. Interesting words, and if you guys didn't have a chance and you want to listen to the podcast of the show, if you didn't catch the beginning, Rick Saratella from at NFL Draft Bible joined us. And what he said about Kelvin Benjamin, I thought, was very, very interesting because, you know, you guys know this. I'm not a huge college guy. You know, during the year, we're traveling on Saturdays a lot for games. So, you know, I'm on planes. I don't see a lot of the games in the afternoons. I'll see a couple primetime games here or there. And quite frankly, on the other Saturdays when we're home, the last thing I want to do is sit there and watch a football game. You know, I'm basically working 6 or 7 days every week, and that's my one day off. Damn right I'm getting out of the house. So, you know, I'm not a huge college football guy. I never claimed to be. That's why I get all these guys on to learn about these players when the draft comes. But I thought what he said about Kelvin Benjamin was interesting. That before this year, he really, you know, wasn't considered even a day two draft prospect. He was a bottom of the draft type of guy. But he went the wow drafts with speed and size and all that sort of stuff, all the measurables. And I thought the comparison to Stephen Hill was interesting. And I think that's a big red flag for Kelvin Benjamin. I think he has potential, but I think he's one of those high-risk, high-reward type of guys where he could be really good or it could be, whoops, my bad. 201-939-4513. Three calls on the line. We'll take you three guys, and then we're going to say goodbye. Let's go to Will in Brooklyn. William, what's going on?
Hey, John. This is I'm actually up in the Bronx. Made a mistake there.
That's all right, but, William. It's Brooklyn is the far superior borough, but if you're in the Bronx, that's okay, too.
Well, you know, I had to come here to upgrade it a little bit. Plus, we got some giant tip three. So.
What do you got?
Okay, I got two interesting ideas here. I go with defense being, you know, the reason why most teams is making it into the playoffs, and as we could see last year, getting to the Super Bowl. So I could see Donald being a good fit going in that first pick. But what I'm looking at is if we could get Donald there, how can we just trade Jenkins out? He's 33 years old. We could trade Jenkins out and get a 4 or 5 for Jenkins and put Donald right in so he could start right away.
You know what? I don't think I don't think I want to trade Colin Jenkins. I think at the money you're paying him and what he gives you on the field, I think he's a very valuable player. Look, you're going to have to rotate defensive linemen anyway. Even if you draft Donald, you're still going to need a guy to play 20, 30 snaps when he's not on the field, and especially at his size. I think for at least one more year, you can be more than happy and get a lot of production with both Jenkins and Donald on this team. Remember this, too. If you want, depending on how Kiwanuka plays, you can always move Jenkins outside the left end for 10, 15, 20 snaps a game, too. So I think there's room for both of them, to be honest with you. I like Colin Jenkins a lot. I think he's too good of a player to trade.
Okay, well, if we're not going to trade him, then how about the second thing was let's just trade out Will Beatty and pick up 3 or 4 and just use one of those picks to get a O-lineman.
Unfortunately, right now with the way Will Beatty's salary is structured, and you trade a guy like that, the signing bonus gets accelerated. Literally, the Giants could not afford to trade Will Beatty's contract the way the contract is set up. That's something they could consider at some point next year, I think. I'd have to relook at the contract and relook at the money. But right now, I'm not sure another team's going to want Will Beatty, especially with that contract, coming off a bad year and coming off a broken leg. So I think right now what you need Will Beatty to do is to come back next year, play well, reestablish his value, and then you can start looking at things like that.
So if Donald and Ebron and Evans and all those guys are gone at 12, what do you think about us doing a signage or a trade down with a team like the Jets, or just get their guy, as a matter of fact, get their guy and do a trade once we get their guy?
You know, it's funny, people talked about trading down, and yes, you have to find a team that's willing to trade up for one. I think there are a couple scenarios in which the Giants would be able to trade down. I think the Jets are one of them. I think you hit it right on the head. The Jets need a corner, and I think at 12, if Justin Gilbert and Denard are both still there, that would be a situation where the Jets, with all their extra picks, might be willing to move up. So I think that's something the Giants could consider. But I think you have to worry about moving down past the point where you're not going to be able to get a guy like Zach Martin. And then you run into trouble where maybe you're not getting a great player in the first round, which I think, you know, can be dangerous. I think another scenario, Will, where you could trade down is if a team, one of those three or four quarterbacks, I'll throw Derek Carr into that mix too, drops to 12, and a team, you know, really likes him and they say, yeah, we really want to move up here. Maybe you could hold the team up and get a lot of value for that pick. I think those are the two scenarios where the Giants could potentially trade down. Whether they'll do it or not, I think it all depends on what they'd be able to get for the pick.
Yeah, whether or not a team is willing to have us pick for them, just like we did in 04 with Eli.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I appreciate the call, William.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for calling in. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Norm down in Alabama. Norm, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Norm. How about yourself?
Well, first-time caller, and the question, I was going to ask the same question. If none of the big guys up top are there for us, is trading down and getting some extra picks?
Now, Norm, I wouldn't trade down much past, let me think, where are the Jets picked this year? Let me look that up here. The Jets are at 18, yeah. The Jets are at 18. I would not go anywhere past 18. That is the furthest I would ever trade down, and I think you're even in danger territory going down to 18. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Norm, to me, the most dangerous thing and the worst possible thing that can happen in this draft is if you don't come out of it with a really, really big-time impact player. And the last thing I want to do is trade out of 12, lose my shot at a big-time impact player, go to 18, get a good player. Even if you add a pick, at 12, I want a difference maker. And I don't want to lose that opportunity. Now, I don't know what the Giants draft board looks like. Heck, they don't know what it looks like yet. The scouts haven't even came back yet from their pro days, from all that stuff to put the draft board together. So right now there is no draft board. But if the Giants, when they put it together, figure out that whoever they get at 12, whoever they get at 18 would be just as good, I think they'll definitely keep that in mind. But, again, you just have to worry about going down too far and missing out on your guy.
Also on the this is the most active I've seen Jerry Reese. I mean, we're actually the Giants being free agency this year.
Yes, sir.
But as far as our offensive line, does it look like, I mean, those are, we're really pretty much drafted or picked those guys rather for depth than we did to actually replace some of our starters?
I think the two guys they brought in to be starters are J.D. Walton and Jeff Schwartz. I think the other guys are more depth and guys that you know can start in the case of an emergency. I don't think either Jerry or the tackle they brought in from the Saints, whose name is flowing out of my head here for a second, are guys that they want to be able to come in and start right away. I think those are depth guys. But I think Schwartz and Walton, they're counting on to be starters. Who's the starter at that other guard position? They hope it's Chris Snee, if he can stay healthy. If not, I think it's still a question mark.
Okay, and just give a shout-out. There's a group of us Giants fans. Well, we're about 16 strong now, living in the Huntsville, Alabama area, Madison County Giants fans. And we get together. It's a miracle we all met up. Some of us been watching them down here for 20 years. All of us, you know, originally most of us from up north, and we missed them. And now we're able to get together every Sunday.
Well, Norm, great. I'm happy you guys have a group down there. And tell all your buddies down there that are Giant fans to listen to the show, call in. We'd love to have them.
Oh, absolutely. And if anybody out there is in Alabama they're listening, show up at Diamonds or look us up on Facebook, Madison County Giants fans.
Very
and
good.
Glad to have you. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Norm. Appreciate it, man. See, we got Alabama Giant fans. They're probably big Howard Cross. I should ask about Howard Cross. Howard Cross is Mr. Alabama. Loves his Roll Tide. Bet you those guys are big Howard Cross fans down there. Howard's an Alabama boy, too, born and raised. Good dude. We should get Howard on at some point. See what he thinks about the Giants free agent stuff. I can get Banks on the phone, too. Got to put these guys to work. They've been off too long. Start making them earn their cash. Get Fiegels, Roman. Yeah, you know what? You got to start mixing, getting those guys in the mix. 201-939-4513. Final call of the program is Tom in Manalapan. Is that New Jersey or is that Long Island, Tom?
It's in New Jersey.
That's New Jersey. I always get that confused. Yeah. What's going on, Tom? How are you?
I'm good today, John. You know, I was thinking on the show and thought that wouldn't the draft be different if we were a 3-4 defense? Wouldn't the draft look very different to us if we were coming at it from that angle?
I think if the Giants were a 3-4 defense, we'd be talking a lot about Anthony Barr, and we wouldn't be talking a lot about Aaron Donald, because that's one Aaron Donald wouldn't fit in a 3-4 defense at all.
Mm-hmm. And it would make maybe discussing a trade up to get Khalil Mack something that's kind of achievable from 12, if you think it's gonna, that's what you want to do. That would spice up the dialogue too. You know,
yeah, I agree. I think Khalil Mack would be. I've gotten some calls, some you know, kind of off the wall calls about trading up for Clowney. I think we'd be getting some calls about trading up for Mack. I agree.
Yeah, this is. I talked to you guys, I don't know, a couple months ago, you and Paul Dottino one morning, about if you were building a defense from scratch, would you go with a 3-4 approach or a 4-3? Because one is more sustainable over time than another. And I'm not saying that's true. I'm just sort of asking. And this could be a year where you could say, well, this is a good 3-4 year if you have a high pick, but, you know, too bad for the 4-3 guys.
You know, it's funny, college, I think, seems to be navigating more to those 3-4 defenses. And the NFL, yeah. I guess, is probably still around 50-50, maybe around 17-13 in terms of teams that run the 4-3 as opposed to the 3-4. It's about equal these days, I think.
Yeah, well, I guess this year kind of magnifies for 4-3 defenses. It's pretty slim pickings this year in the draft. At least if you got a 3-4, you could say, well, the two linebackers are – top 12 or top 15, you know, but you can't say that if you got a 4-3. Curious about, you know, defensive schemes. Is it just about the players you have now, or do you have a master plan that is over time? And if you do, which one of those defenses is more appealing? Discussion for another show, another time.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, and I think it depends. You know what? That's a good question. I would have to take a closer look, and maybe some of our guys that listen to the show that watch a lot more college football than I do can give a better idea than I could about what percentage of college teams now run the 3-4 instead of the 4-3, how many run like a hybrid system. I think it's actually a very good question.
John, another element of this, too, is a lot of your callers have talked about, hey, how come it takes us so long to get players worked into the offense? You know, especially with the new CBA, you know, you're pretty much going to lose a good player after his first contract. I mean, Hakeem Nicks, Linval Joseph, and JPP, you know. So the point being, you can't really wait till their third or fourth year to get production out of them. You got to get them cooking early.
That's a good point.
First or second year.
That's a good point.
Just by the nature of the finances of the game has forced you. Now, is Bob McAdoo the new – I think I got that right.
Ben, the new
offensive coordinator, is one of his appeal to the Giants that he can integrate new players more rapidly and make them productive by the way he designs and teaches.
I think one of the theories of bringing in a new offensive coordinator would be that players, whether they're free agents or they're rookies, would be able to learn the system and contribute quicker. I do believe that's true. I agree with you on that, Tom.
I think, too, you know, because of the CBA now, a top 10 pick, you know, 10 years ago, teams didn't want top 10 picks. They were too expensive.
Yeah, not anymore.
And now it's gone totally in the opposite direction.
Right.
Which, to me, bring, you know, the point we made not a few calls ago about if you're picking number 12, you really do want to get an impact player out of that pick. You don't want a good depth guy or a developmental guy. You want, you need to do that in today's world. You have to get a high pick, high talent, and high productivity in the short term. That would seem to be the keys to success in today's, well, some of them anyway.
Thanks, Tom.
So, all right, good talking to you. Take care,
hey,
John.
Hey, good to hear from you, Tom. Thanks for the call, man. Tom always does a good job for us out there. Bye. Another full page full of calls. I like Dan's doodle there, too. That's a nice doodle you got there on the caller sheet, Dan. Well done. Not sure what that's supposed to be, but it's like some weird code. I don't know. Anyway. Everybody, good job on the phones. Good job on Twitter. Tomorrow we're joined by Greg Giannotti. He covers the Panthers for their radio station. He does sideline reporting down there. Former coworker of mine over at WFAN. Also hosts the morning show down there on CBS Radio in Pittsburgh. He'll join us tomorrow to give us the lowdown on Aaron Donald. And I can tell you, I've already had the conversation. It's taped. And to say he is glowing about him would be the understatement of the century. Loves the kid. So check that out tomorrow. Meanwhile, the conversation continues on hashtag Giants Chat. I will tweet out when the archive is up for you guys that missed the start of the show when we were joined by Rick Serratella. Rick Serratella, let me try that again, from at NFL Draft Bible. And you can check that out. It's some good information on who the Giants could look at in round one and round two. And he's an Aaron Donald guy. Also likes Eric Ebron. Though 50-50 shot, he says Donald might not be there at 12, which I thought was interesting to think. You know who he reminds me of? He's like the opposite of DeMonte Moore. He started in the first round in January and went down to the third round. Donald started in the third round in late December, and now he's in the top 10. It's amazing. All right, everybody. See you tomorrow morning, 9:30 on Giants.com. Be there.